he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Now, I'm going to share something with you here real quick because I think we might have overlooked it. It says, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead? Now, when you stone somebody, back in those days, they stone them to death. They don't stone them there to linger around and to agonize in their pain. They stone them to death. And here, look at this miracle in the next verse. It says, howbeit the disciples stood around about him, he rose up. He rose up. And what's it say he did? And he came into the city, and the next day he departed to Barnabas to Derbe. Means he rose up from this beating that he took, from the stoning that came upon his body. He rose up and began to go forth with the ministry. It's an amazing picture. I had to show that to you. And when they had preached the gospel, verse number 21, to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they committed them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? And then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. Our Heavenly Father, we call upon you this morning. We ask that you would speak to our hearts today. Lord, we ask through the reading and teaching and preaching of your word that you would be illuminated this morning. Lord, we pray this morning that your message, it's not mine, Lord, it's your message. We pray that it would not fall upon deaf ears this morning. Lord, we pray for that brother or that sister who is struggling to have a relationship with you. Lord, we pray for that lost soul that is sitting amongst us who is yet to call upon you as their personal Savior. Lord, we pray that you would bring salvation to their soul today. Lord, we pray that you would just work and bless in the time that we have together. We thank you, Lord, as it's been mentioned already, for the freedom that we have to serve you. We ask you these things in your holy and most precious name, King of kings, Lord of lords. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. The one thing that there's a few things that I would like to begin to talk to you about this morning is the goal for the church, or you can say the goal for Open Door Baptist Church. And I believe that we need, as a church, to have goals set. Amen? I mean, when you get hired on a job somewhere, when you go through the interview, the one thing that they ask you is, what are your goals in the next 5 years? See, they want to know how long you want to stay. They want to know if you want any promotions. They want to know if they see you starting out at the very bottom, if they're going to see you at the very top. They want to know these things. And so they have goals. And it's good in our lives to set goals. And so I believe that our church of Open Door Baptist Church, God's church, we need to have some goals. Amen? So over the past few months, there have been some things that God has literally laid upon my heart, and I've been so troubled with it, and God has begun to speak to me in so many ways about this very issue, and looking forward to delivering the message that God has given me. But the one thing that I know, folks, when God begins to speak, and when God begins to work in your heart and life, and when He tells you to do something, we need to listen. Not only do we need to listen, we need to do it. Amen? We need to obey and we need to follow His commands. Before, if we don't obey God and if we don't follow His commands, we're disobedient. Amen? We're disobedient children. So lately I have been studying very diligently, very thoroughly, the life of Paul and the ministry of God. A lot of us say, well, it's Paul's ministry. Let me correct you on one thing. It's not Paul's ministry, it's God's ministry that God allowed Paul to be a part of. Amen? Amen? So it was God's ministry. And so I needed to point this out this morning. And the fact of the matter is, this ministry has not stopped today. This is a ministry of God's that is still ongoing. It has never stopped ceasing. It is still going on today. And now God has allowed not only Paul, but He's allowed other men to be a part of His ministry. Thank God for that. So if it was a man's ministry, it would be a total failure. Amen? That's what happens. When man gets involved and begins to put his ideas and his thoughts into things that are not of God's thoughts, that are not of God's ideas, these things begin to be destroyed. So, but being God who He is, He cannot fail. And all God's people should have said amen. God cannot fail, nor will He ever fail. Why is that? Because He is God. No other explanation for it. He is God. Back in the chapter of 9 of the book of Acts, we see from the very beginning of Paul's conversion how God began to work in his life. He realized from the moment that God descended the Holy Spirit upon his soul, he realized that his life was no longer Paul's life to live. But he realized and came to the conclusion that it was God's life. Folks, this is where we need to be in our lives today. It's not our lives. We're not living our lives for ourselves, nor should we be living our lives for ourselves, but we should be living our life for God. That's where we need to be in our life. So he knew and he realized it was God's life. And how important it is for us to understand and to grasp this thing that is being told us here. It's also amazing to me seeing a guy who was one of the harshest of people to believers. Why, Paul would literally go around and persecute Christians for what they stood for what they believed in. He literally took and put a beating upon the Christians. One thing that I begin to understand about the life of Paul, and it didn't click on until yesterday, going through this once again, is that not only did God use Paul to help the church out after he saved, but he also helped the church out before he was saved. Well, how is that possible? How did God use Paul to help the church back in the early days? Well, you go back into the book of Acts when you see Peter and John going around and witnessing and preaching the Word of God, and you see these souls come to know Christ of 8,000 people come to know Christ. God also said, I want you to multiply. But what happened? That church of 8,000 people stood still. So God used Paul. What did He use him for? To bring persecution to the church. What happened when Paul began to persecute the church? That church scattered. Then the church began to multiply. Then the church began to grow. So isn't it amazing that God used Paul before he was saved? Amen. And God can use many people. But not only was he the harshest of people to believers, but Paul became very compassionate to the very ones that he put persecution upon. Paul, after his salvation, after Christ entered in his heart, began to have a love and began to have a zeal for the people of God. Why was that? Because now he was a child of God. Now he understood what it meant to be a believer in Christ. Now he understood what it meant to be called a Christian. And so he began to be very compassionate towards him. God used this man very greatly. And because of this, many souls came to know God as a personal Savior. Amen to that. There are three things this morning that I would like for us to really look at here in this chapter, chapter 14. These three things that begin to take place in this chapter, actually it's after the fact that's taken place. There are some things that I would like us to learn from Paul this morning. One of those things is what it means for us as Christians, as children of God, is to be a witness for Him. Well, Chad, you talk about this quite a lot. Well, the Bible does. So if the Bible talks about it, then I have the right to too. Pastor's been talking about holiness for a long time. Well, the Bible does. Amen? So here's some things that I want us to do. I want us to learn what it means to be a witness. Not only what it means to be a witness, but after our witnessing has come forth and we have seen some souls get saved, the importance for us to disciple. Oh, folks, how important it is for us to disciple young Christians. There's nothing worse than hearing the screams of a crying, hungry baby because they're not getting fed. These young Christians, they get saved and they're not getting discipled. And they're hungry. And what normally happens when they're not discipled, they go right back to where they came from. So we need to learn the importance not only being a witness, and I won't dwell on that long, but we need to learn the importance of being a disciple, to disciple them, and I won't dwell on that long either. The third thing I want us to look at today is the importance for us in starting churches. What? You mean Open Door Baptist Church has a responsibility of starting churches? Yes, we do. Very important for us to start churches. Well, Chad, we do that through missions. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. But God, I believe, wants local churches to establish local churches. I really believe that with all my heart. One of the things that I want you to notice when going through the life of Paul is Paul wasn't able, or did he have the technology that we have today, such as computers, cell phones, blackberries, blueberries, purpleberries, whatever they are. He didn't have a car. He didn't have a Humvee. He didn't have a Mercedes. He probably had a donkey. Might have had a horse from time to time. But he didn't have these technologies that we have to reach a lost world. He didn't have all that. Folks, we have all that. And we've yet to do the work that Paul has done. Why is that? The one thing that stands out to me, the reason why that might be, folks, this morning is because the one thing that we forget about in our lives, that I am just as guilty as anybody in here, we forget about the Holy Spirit. We forget about God. We forget about who He is and what He can do. But Paul saw and recognized the power that God had. And through Paul, God used him tremendously. He relied upon the Holy Spirit. And through him, it wasn't Paul, folks, but through the Holy Spirit, he was able to accomplish far more than what we are able to even think about accomplishing today. And that's with the technology that we have today. Do you realize there are still some folks here in this world who have yet to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? What a shame that is, even with our technology. There are still those folks who have no idea what other humans look like today, besides their own tribe. Shows you how important our mission is in reaching the lost world to Christ. Paul wasn't so worried about what people thought of him after accepting Christ. We too oftentimes begin to think, well, people might look at me in a different way. People might make fun of me, and they might laugh at me, and they might scold me. Paul, that wasn't on his mind right now, folks. The thing that was on his mind was getting that gospel out that saved him from a hell that was going to keep him there forever. And so he had the desire to go out and to be a witness for Christ. So he wasn't worried about it. He lived, and folks, I believe that we need to live the same way, and that's to live to please the Lord. We need to live to please the Lord. Sure, some may say, man, if I was only like Paul, I can be just as great for Jesus. It's not about being like Paul, folks. It's not about being like David or Daniel. It's not about being like Noah or Moses. It's about allowing God to work through your life so that you, because of Jesus, through you, you can go out and be just as effective as Paul was. Paul was just a man. Without Christ in his life, he could not accomplish any of these things. Without Paul not allowing the Holy Spirit to dwell within him, he would never have been able to accomplish what he accomplished for the Lord. But God used him. It was through the Holy Spirit. It's not about what I can do for Christ. It's about what Christ can do through you. We need to get that in our minds today. Well, then, Chad, you might say, well, I'm not worthy. I'm not able. You're darn right. There's no one in here that's worthy of doing what Paul did. We're not worthy. We're not able. And that's what I'm trying to get across this morning. But through Christ, you are able. Through Christ, you are worthy. Through Christ, you can accomplish anything in your life. Through Christ, you are able to conquer the evils of this world. Through Christ. That's what we need to understand today. We need to stop thinking it's not about us. Most of my life that I have lived so far on earth has been about me. Oh, how wrong I was to think of that way in my way of thinking. It's not about me. It's all about God. It's not about, man, I wish I can be a great preacher for a church that comes along and I can preach a great message. It's not about me. It's not about what I can do, but it's about what God can do through me. And this is what Paul was allowing God to do in his life. See, we can't do nothing by ourselves. We simply can't do nothing by ourselves. We need the help of God in our life. And we need to recognize that we got to call upon a holy and a mighty God in our life. It's not about us, folks. We can never be a great witness. We can never be a great disciple. We can never start churches if we don't allow God to work through us. Oh, thank God that Paul saw the need for him to work in his life. Thank God for that. So it's not about us. I often hear people, and I've said the same thing, folks. I have said since the time I've been changed, when God saved my life, I have done some changes in my life. Folks, it's not about what you have done in your life, because you cannot change your life. Only God can. Paul allowed God to have total control of his life. This is where we need to be as God's children today, as allowing God to fully control our lives, to fully dedicating our lives to Him. We haven't changed a thing, folks. For if we change, it's not going to last. It's never permanent. But when God brings a change about your life, it is permanent, it is lasting, and it is forever. And only through God could this be possible. Now that was the introduction to what we're about to hear today. Aren't you glad the introduction's over? So now we see here in chapter 14, in verses 19 through 29, what we just read. Paul here is coming off the end of his first missionary journey. Him and Barnabas, they've been out for a while now. They have gone out and done some great witnessing for Christ, and through this they have done some great discipling through Christ, and through this some churches have been started, and they have done some great work, and they're coming down to the end of their first missionary journey. Now we see that the work that God, through Paul, and because of this, is still going on today, folks. It's still going on today. Do you realize if Paul did not surrender his life to God, that we would be here today? Those churches started back then because those churches started, other churches have started, and so forth and so forth, and you get the picture, and here we are today. And this work is still going on today. There still needs to be witnessing, there still needs to be discipling, and there still needs to be establishing of churches. And I believe today we as believers from time to time need to reevaluate our goals in our life. We need to reevaluate them. What I'm trying to say is we need to set or we need to reset our goals for God and His church. Let me explain this. This church is not ours, folks. This church is not ours. What are you saying, Chad? I'm a member of Open Door Baptist Church. No, the church is God's. You belong to God. This building here is going to be destroyed one day through a fire. It's going to be away. It's God's church. It's not ours. I need to say one thing before I move on. I have been aware of so many mega churches across the country that literally people flock to these churches to worship pastors. Folks, it's not about worshiping the pastor. It's about worshiping God. Why is that? Man fails us from time to time. Amen? God never fails us. We're to follow God and God only. So I'm kind of fed up with seeing these mega churches being worshipped by their people, 50,000 people. The only thing I'm kind of sick of, I'm kind of going off on this just a little bit. I don't really like pastors that get up there and spike their hair and put on a sports coat and wear jeans and tennis shoes. And to me, that just seems weird. Amen? I got to stop there. Well, I feel better about that, though. Thanks. But we have seen and we have heard. I got to get going here. We have seen and we have heard how important it is for us to witness for Christ. We read of the great commandment in the New Testament. But we also, not only do we need to witness for Christ, folks, and this is very important, but we also need to have a desire to disciple them. We need to have a desire to disciple the young Christians that God has saved. Because if we don't get down and sit down with them and begin to disciple and begin to tell them what the Word of God means, what happens is normally they generally walk away from the church and they don't come back until years later. And so because from the day of their salvation, maybe because 5-10 years have passed, they're starting to finally have a relationship with God. It's important for us to disciple these folks because if they're not getting discipled, how are they going to grow in Christ? How are they going to know when God's speaking to them? How are they going to know when God's calling upon their life? And so we need to disciple. Tell them the importance of the things of God. You know, go back to the very basics and to begin to disciple them. Tell them why we believe in baptism and things of that nature. Why we believe in joining a church and how important it is for us to disciple them. But a lot of times what happens so often is people get saved and they're not getting discipled. And so they're back out into the world right where they came from. Yes, God has saved their soul, but they're living no different than what they lived before they got saved. Because we have people that have failed, and I have failed miserably in this, of not discipling people that have come to know Christ their Savior. Witnessing is very important. Yes, it is, but so is discipling. And so we wonder why young believers dry up quick. It's because we don't take the time to disciple them. So I've gone through 2 points very quickly. The third point I believe that we need to take a little bit more time and discuss here this morning is I like to focus on now is the importance of establishing churches. And I said it earlier, and yes, I understand, we through our mission fund, yes, we through us sending out missionaries, we're able to establish churches in foreign fields. That is a very great and that is a very exciting thing. And we had the privilege last week of seeing what God has done with our finances going over to Brother Pridgen in Uganda. And that was very exciting to me and how we have seen churches start. But folks, we have a need in the United States of America today. We have a need in our own country. We're willing to go out and send our money to missionaries, which is a great thing. But the sad part of that is, folks, we have forgotten about the mission field here that God has called us to do. And God has put upon us a great importance for us to get the Word of God out to His people. So not only do we have a need to start churches in foreign lands, but we also have a need to start churches in the United States of America. I don't think we understand, folks, today that the United States of America, the great country that we live in, is more of a mission field than we realize. You know, a few weeks ago, I had the great privilege to go out to Pine Bluff. There's only been, Lance, you've been out there. You know how desolate that land is. It's basically a desert out there from Sidney, Nebraska to Cheyenne, Wyoming. You literally have 60 miles of vast land between each of these towns, these big towns. There are thousands of towns today that don't have churches in their towns. And I mean good Bible-believing churches. Sure, they have the Pentecostal. Sure, they have the Lutheran. Sure, they have the Methodist. And I'm not knocking any of those. Don't get me wrong. but they don't have a good, fundamental, doctrinally sound church. So there are literally thousands of small towns that don't have a good church to go to. And if they do, they'll have to travel a great distance to get to them. And let's face it, most folks don't want to travel that far anymore to go to a church to sit for an hour or two. America today is the lost mission field, and we are just standing by as God's people, as God's Christians, as God's believers, as God's children. We're standing by watching our great nation of ours go down the tube. What our country was founded upon Christian principles by our forefathers. We're watching that go astray today. We're saying, hey, we might as well just flush that thing down the toilet. We're saying that. So we're watching our country go down the toilet here. We have so many things going on in our churches today. And don't get me wrong, we need to have some programs and things of that nature. But we have so much going on today, but we literally do not go outside the church to be a witness for God, to start other churches. We have evolved ourselves in a little bubble. God wants us to go out and to be a witness for Him. We have become hermits. We stay in our little bubbles. We don't like to get out of it. We don't want to get out of our comfort zone. We want to stay exactly where we're at. Don't get me wrong, folks. Yes, I understand. God wants us to draw closer to Him. I understand that. We can draw closer to God through prayer. I believe we can draw closer to God through the reading and teaching of the Scriptures. But He also wants us to multiply, folks. He wants us to multiply. It is God's will that every soul be saved. But not every soul is going to get saved. There are still going to be people literally going to hell. Why is that? Is it because we're not doing our job the way that we should? Are we not being as effective as we should in being a witness, being a disciple, or helping establish in churches? Are we not being that effective? God wants us to multiply. Earlier in Acts, God tells the people that they're to multiply. And I rehearsed the story to you a while ago. God brought great persecution upon the church through the life of Paul. And it wasn't until that persecution that the multiplication of the church came about. Is this what we want today, for God to bring us persecution, to go out and to be the witness that we should be for God? Peter and John, earlier on in the book of Acts, went out in the name of the Holy Spirit, and they went out with boldness. We don't go out with boldness today. We can't go out with boldness today when we're watching TV all the time. God is telling us and showing us the importance of, for us as Christians, to start local churches. Does that mean that you got to pastor them? No, that doesn't mean that. But God wants us to start a work for Him. I just recently visited a church here a few months ago. The thing that stood out to me was this. This church has been in existence for approximately the same time this church has been, about 30 to 35 years. And it's kind of run the same way. You know, most churches are in a sense. But the thing that stood out to me was, and this is where God has really been dealing with me, this church was able to go out and to start 14 churches. And they did it within 2 to 3 hours of their church. Not only did they see the importance from that local church starting other works, but also they train men in their church to go out and pastor these churches. And I understand we're not going to be like other churches. I know that. I understand that part of it. But we ought to have a zeal. We ought to have a desire to start churches today. You ask yourself a question. Well, how can this be done today, Chad? I can tell you how it can be done. We need, as God's children, to catch the vision of God. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 18, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Where there is no vision, the people perish. I believe that's talking about us today, folks. Have we lost our vision for God? Have we lost our desire to serve Him today? Have we lost the importance of what it means to be a child of God and what it is that we are to do for Him? Have we lost that vision today? How is this possible? Again, let me tell you, it's through the power of the Holy Spirit and not man. The pastor, the missionary, you and even I can't do this, folks. But God, through us, it's all possible. It's all possible. Wouldn't it be exciting today if we were able to go out 2 hours down the road and we were able to plant a church and the pastor's there, and then later on we're able to go down the road even further and start another church, all because the folks of Open Door Baptist Church caught the vision of God? Or do you want to be that church where that people, where it says, where no vision and people perish? So what are our goals for the church today? What are our goals for Open Door Baptist Church? What are our goals for churches across America today? One, we need to be a witness. Two, we need a disciple. Three, we need to start establishing churches in our field as well. The irony here is God created us with a free will. So with that being said, we are a product of our own choices. Chad, I can't do this. I don't have enough time. I'm really bogged down with this. I have so much going on. Can I give you a little clue? You live that way because you choose to. You live that way because you choose to. You can have more time for God because you choose to. God doesn't make you do anything until you give in to Him. We need to choose to serve God today. We are a product of our own choices. We choose to live for the world. We choose to serve man rather than choose to serve God. We choose not to witness. We choose not to disciple. And we choose not to be a part in establishing other churches. I got a question I'm going to close with. My friend, my brothers and my sisters in Christ, whom I love dearly, who do you choose today? Is it God? Or is it man? I can't answer that for you. Only you can answer that. Are you willing to pick up the mantle that Paul left us with? Are you willing to let people die and go to hell? If that's the case, then we might as well close the doors here. Because we have forgotten what God has called us to do. And that's to be a witness for Him. I believe it's the time in our life, in our country, as God's children choose to serve Him. He saved you from hell. He saved you from burning in eternity. But yet we choose to live our lives the way we want to. I believe that Open Door Baptist Church can be far more effective today than what we are right now. I honestly believe that. And I believe God wants to do so. We just got to choose and say yes. That's what it comes down to. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day that You've given us. Lord, we thank You for this great example that You have bestowed upon us this morning through Your Word. The importance of being a soul winner for You, being a disciple for You, and having a desire to help other ministries get started through You. Lord, I pray this morning. I don't know how anybody took this morning. I don't know how You have spoken in their hearts, but Lord, only You do. And I pray as the invitation is being played this morning that You would just call Your people to serve You today. Lord, I ask this in my own life. Lord, I too make bad choices. I too choose to live the way that I do. So, oh God, I ask for Your forgiveness upon my life today. I ask You these things in Your name. Amen. If you please stand with your heads bowed, with your eyes closed.